So the title this morning is Rules and Restrictions May Apply. It's December 8th. Can you believe it's December 8th? We only have a few more weeks till Christmas comes. I have my list posted out there if you like. Amen. No, I got everything I need because I got Jesus. Amen. This morning I want to share with you a little bit about Christianity and people's perception of Christianity is there's a bunch of rules and regulations and restrictions and I can't do this and I can't do that and you know if I become a Christian I'm not going to be able to drink anymore, smoke anymore, cuss anymore, run around and do things and God's going to limit me and he's holding me back and we look at Christianity as a bunch of rules and regulations. And I remember when I was not saved, my brother had gotten saved, and he got transformed by the power of God's word. And we thought he joined a cult, and he was reading the Bible, and he'd come around, and we're like, brother, man, just back off. I don't want any of your rules and regulations. I just want to live my life the way I want to live my life. And God allows you to live the way you want to live. If you want to live below the poverty line, he will allow you to do that. But he wants you to be richly blessed. Amen. So this morning, I want to take a second. Dell's got something for you called a permission slip this morning. I want him to hand it out to you this morning. And just hold on to that. Because what I want you to know is that when you read the word and you get to know who Jesus is, he gives you a permission slip so that you can have access to everything that God has. God is not trying to hold you back. He's trying to get you blessed. He's trying to move you somewhere. He's given you a permission slip. And when you have a permission slip, it allows you to leave the library and go to wherever you need to go. Amen? So this permission slip gives you complete access to everything that God has for you. Now you're going to say, Pastor, that's great, you know. Well, I want to share a few things because I want you to know, I remember when I wasn't saved, I thought Christians were crazy. I said, they're crazy. They're nuts. I don't want to go to no church because there's going to have all these rules and restrictions and they're going to make them apply to me. So then I looked and I pulled out the Holy Bible and man, that thing's heavy and big and I'm going, this thing's full of nothing but rules and regulations. Thus say, do not this and do not do that. Do not sin and do not covet my neighbor's goods and do not do this and don't eat of the apple of the tree. Oh my God, this thing has too many rules and regulations. Oh my God. So then I thought, well, sometimes we think of the Bible that God's here just to beat us down, submit us, tap out. Yes, Jesus, okay, I give in. I'll surrender. God's not there to beat you up, to knock you down. He's trying to get something to you. His hands are open, not clenched. He's not here to hurt you. He's not here to beat you up. But we think God's going to just couldn't, that word is going to beat us down and it's going to take things away from us. We all remember the paddle. Remember the stick? My mom had one with holes in it. You can hear it right before it cracked your behind. Amen. We sometimes think that God has a paddle in his hand. And he's there to beat us down and to make us submit and get us in the line and agreement with the way he wants to do that. That's how we look at Christianity. He's here to smack us and get us down and you're nothing but nothing. It's not how the God that we serve is. Sometimes we look at it and we say, we just don't measure up. You know, how could God love me? I haven't done this right. I haven't done that right. I'm still drinking and cussing and sinning and whoring around. I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. I don't measure up. Think about that. I got a spoon here because sometimes you and I find ourselves in a mess and we're stirred up in some stuff and we're all jacked up and we're wondering why our life is so much in turmoil and all we do is keep on going around the mountain and it's kind of like, you know, I was making some soup yesterday, and I was stirring it up. I was making sure all the things, all the ingredients mixed well. But sometimes we mix ourselves with company that causes us to slip and fall and fail. Just trying to help you. So Sometimes. We get reports. The doctor. Don't look good. Doesn't look like God's teaching me a lesson. Yep, I'm supposed to be sick. You know, I've been smoking and drinking and carousing around and doing things I shouldn't. He's just getting even with me. That's what we think God's like. Why did he get me sick? He's trying to teach me a lesson. He's trying to hold me back from living a life. Why did I get sick? Well, that's what the doctor's report says, but that's not what Dr. Jesus says. Amen. Take a look at this slide real quick. Sometimes when you go to amusement parks, they have this sign, you got to be so tall. And sometimes what happens as Christians, we think that God is saying you have to meet a certain standard before you can enter in. You're not cleaned up enough. You don't make the mark. I need to beat you into submission. I need to get you to thinking. I got all these rules and regulations. That's what we think Christianity is all about. Probably use these again here in a minute. We think sometimes that we're not tall enough. We're not big enough. We're not clean enough. God can't use me because I'm still messed up. And what happens is, and I'm going to share something, in the Old Testament, the way the scribes and the Pharisees, they used to make sure that you couldn't measure up. They had so many rules and regulations that you could never, ever make it. You were never good enough. That's why they had all these rules and restrictions. I have an American Express card, and the more I use it, the more points I get. Amen. But the points say there's some rules and restrictions that apply. I can't use it for certain things. I can't go purchase this or can't purchase that with the points. Or I have frequent flyer points on Southwest, and they say you can fly on all these days, but you can't fly on the blackout dates and the 5 days that you really want to use it during the holiday season. Amen? So you get to pay full fare. Remember, these rules and restrictions may apply. You have a discovery card. You get your 3% back except on this item, and that item. You're getting my point. Rules and restrictions apply. So let's take a look at the Bible for a second. And I want to share something with you in the book of Genesis 3. And then we're going to go forward a little bit, and then we're going to back up a second. Because I want to show you something about the God that you and I serve is not about a whole bunch of rules, a whole bunch of regulations. He set some boundaries to help us. But it's not about a bunch of rules and regulations that you and I can't conform to. Because no way you and I could do all the things that the Bible said we could do in the Old Testament. But God came, he brought Jesus so that we have grace so that we can get it done. Amen. Take a look at Genesis 3, verse 21. We'll start there. And it says, "And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife." So let me stop there. So God, the fashion designer, can you imagine that? What are you wearing today? I'm wearing God Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. So you're going to remember this at about noontime when you're going to go eat. You're going to say, "God, I've got designer clothes." "Then the Lord God said, 'Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and touch the fruit of the tree of life and eat it? They will live forever.' So the Lord God banished them," that's Adam and Eve, "from the Garden of Eden and set Adam out to cultivate the land from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord gave stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden and placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." So Adam and Eve were given some instructions, some rules and restrictions. That's how the world looks at it. And they ate of the tree of life, an apple, and their eyes were open, and they weren't supposed to do that. It was their first offense. Even though they blew it, Adam and Eve, God still clothed them because he still loved them. Didn't want them to know that they were naked. Amen? Take a look at Genesis 3:1. Let's go back a little bit in the Bible. Genesis 3:1 says this. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day, this serpent, the devil, asked the woman, did God really say? See, this is where this whole thing started. Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, we must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. The devil, for 2,000 plus years, has been trying to make our God a God of limitations. You can't do this. You can't do that. They only gave Adam and Eve one boundary. Just don't eat. You can eat anything you want. The whole place is yours. The penthouse is yours. The land is yours. You named all the animals. Everything, but just don't. He set a boundary. And the devil, I like how the devil always does. He always says, did God really say? It's just like the devil. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat of that? When he spoke, he meant what he spoke. And you're going, well, see, look at, Pastor, that's a rule and a restriction. No, it's a boundary. Here's what I'm going to show you. When you have young children and you tell them not to put their hands on the stove because it's been hot, is that a boundary or is that a rule and a restriction? It's a boundary. Why? Because you don't want them to burn their hand. God didn't want them to burn their hand. God didn't want them to get disqualified. You tell your kids, don't go play out in the middle of traffic. Why? Because some car is going to run you over. Is that a boundary or is that a rule and a restriction? It's a boundary. But see how the devil turns it around and says, did he really say that you can't eat? Come on. He didn't really mean that. When I tell my kids not to do something, I really mean it. It's not a joke. It's not, maybe it's optional. They still have their own free mind and their free will to do it, but then there will be consequences if they choose to go outside those boundaries. You don't come home at 2 in the morning when I told you to be home at noon or midnight. Amen? The devil has always been trying to take God and make him a God of limitations. God created everything in the earth, and after that, he said, everything is yours. He created Adam. Adam was bored, so he created Eve. Amen? So God gave him a helpmate, someone to help him out, someone to talk to, someone that could speak, 38,000 words. Hallelujah. And he only placed a few boundaries for our own good. But then people have got this twisted. They got religious. Jesus came to show us who God really is. Now let's talk about religion for a minute. You ever been to churches where they say, you can't come in because you ain't got a suit and tie on? I was looking for that in the Bible. Suit and tie required. See how man puts rules and regulations in place to try to keep people out? When God says, hey, Jesus is the gate, I want you all to come in. Come as you are. Come in your shorts. Come in your tank top. Come in with your hair messy. Come in with your suit and tie. Come as you are, because I'm about to change you by the power of my word. But man gets in the way. The Pharisees, the scribes. We see that these religious people made up a whole bunch of rules to keep certain people out. I could create this rule so that person can't come. We're going to have this rule. If you don't have blue eyes and blonde hair, you think about what Hitler did. Come on. Jesus was never about all these rules and regulations that must apply. He just said, I'm going to set some boundaries for you. You can still choose to do what you want. I give you free will. You're not a puppet. I'm not the puppet master saying you're going to go do. You can choose those things, but there may be some ramifications. You may get off a course. You may not have all the blessings that you could have had. And I have to give them over to Pastor Jeff because he's been obedient. Amen? Take a look at the Message Bible, John 10, verses 6 through 10. This is what the Bible says. Jesus told a simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried it again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. Let me stop. We know Jesus as the Savior. We know Jesus as an advocate. We know Jesus as a counselor. A gate. And I thought that was kind of interesting, a gate. Jesus is a gate. Jesus is a gate. And a gate's used to open, to let people in and for protection. Amen. I have a gate in my backyard, and it's closed, and it keeps out all the wild pack of animal dogs that are out there, so they have a hard time getting in my backyard. Amen. Because they have to clear the fence. Amen. They have to clear the gate. But I love this, that Jesus says that I am the gate for the sheep. You and I are sheep. All those others are up to no good sheep stealers. Every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal, to kill, and destroy. This is Jesus, I came so that you may have real and eternal life, more and better life than you've ever dreamed of. Leave it up there for a minute. The thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And we all think the thief is the devil. And that he is the devil. He's a thief. But Jesus was also talking about, in that time, a thief. The scribes and the Pharisees and those that are religious that are trying to hold you back from the things of God because now they are a gatekeeper and not the gate. Come on now. Are trying to hold you back with all these rules and restrictions that may apply. But Jesus said, I'm the gate. And you can come and go as you choose to. But the scribes and the Pharisees and those that are religious, that's why I don't like religious people. I don't go to religious functions. I don't go to religious churches. Because they're trying to hold me back. They won't give me access to the gate. And so often, as Christians, we want to lay on people some rules and regulations that may not apply. And God said, hey, I sent Jesus and he is the gate. That's what it says. It says, I'm the gate. I'm not the gatekeeper. I am the gate. And I'm giving you access. He says, I'm going to take care of you. And you can freely go, come in, and come out of the path. In other words, you can come or go. It's your choice. You're not a puppet. There's not all these rules and regulations and all these mandates that you have to do. But the thief, see, he likes to steal. He likes to kill. He likes to hold you back. He wants to make sure that you fail. He wants to tell you that God, you know, maybe God didn't really mean those things that he said. Come on. Think about this for a minute. It says, I came so that you may have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed. Does that sound like someone who's trying to restrict you from being blessed? A better life. I think he's there to, so he's going to help put some boundaries around to help you so that when you come out through that gate and you've been processed by the Word of God, you're different. Amen? The thief is a liar. He's trying to put you under. God has a few boundaries, but they're not burdens. They're there to bless you. Those boundaries are like permission slips. They give you access to do whatever you want to do according to God's will and plan and prayer. That doesn't mean you go out and sin and then, no, I know God's going to forgive me. You got to be a little smarter than that. Amen? Can't go have five affairs on your wife or husband and say, oh, God's going to forgive me. That's okay. He had some boundaries established. And when I got married to one woman for the rest of my life. For my whole life. To death do us part. So she drives me crazy. No, I'm just kidding. She ain't here, so I can say that. Praise God. Hopefully she doesn't listen to it on the audio. Praise God. Jesus was talking about in that scripture that there's religious people and people that you know, and even sometimes we've been guilty of it, that we try to put rules and regulations that Jesus never said in the Word. We try to tell people, you know, you don't measure up. You know, your life is a mess, and the reason why your life's a mess is because you don't serve Jesus. And we try to beat them down, and we try to use the Word of God to make them conform. We try to get them in a corner, and we're going to have a prayer meeting for them, and we're just whooping on them until they just, okay, they tap out. All right, I'll just give in. You ever been there? I've been there. I remember going to prayer meetings and they said, brother, you're messed up. I know I am. I don't want to be like y'all. You're no fun. You're stiff-necked. You don't drink. You don't party. You don't cuss. You don't do all the things. And you're trying to make me conform to something. What was missing was the part of the ingredients that Jesus had was love. You love them even when they're filthy. You love them even when they're foul-mouthed. You love them even when they're drinking and smoking and cussing and hanging around the wrong crowd. You love them into the kingdom. That's what Jesus did. Because that's what the gate did. The gate just loved people. Let me give you an illustration that maybe I can help you with. All right. Everybody knows about iPhones, right? I have an iPhone. This is an old phone, iPhone 3. Still works. I haven't upgraded to iPhone 5S because this one still makes a phone call. I can still get emails, and it's been paid for now 3 years. Praise God. So I don't need the new one. But when I got this, it came into a box from Apple. And Apple, when you turned it on, had certain applications that it limited you to only. But then someone got smart, and they said that you can jailbreak a phone. What's jailbreak? Well, jailbreaking a phone takes about a half hour. I've never done that, but I've been told this about half. I did a little research on that. And then when you jailbreak the phone, it gives you access to all the other stuff that Apple didn't want you to have access to. It was there. It was available, but you couldn't get to those other applications because it had to be jailbroke. Oh. Pastor, you're going to tie this in somehow, aren't you? I hope. Yeah, I am. Take a look at Luke 4:17. Luke 4:17. I'm almost done. Luke 4:17 says, the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him, being to Jesus, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scrolls, he handed it back to the attendant, he sat down, and all the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently, and they began to speak to them. And the scripture says, you've just heard, have been fulfilled this very day. Go to John 1:14, Message translation. John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Right? That's what it says, right? And we see the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. So you say, Pastor, what is this jailbreaking the iPhone has to do with Jesus? Jesus is like the Apple phone. When Jesus came, he came to fulfill a scripture. Jesus came and jailbroke the Word of God from all the traditions of men and the religious idea of things and all the rules and all the regulations that were applying to everyone. Jesus said, no, I'm breaking all that. Just like the iPhone. It was already all available, but it was bound up by the things like Apple had only given you access to. But God came and gave you Jesus so that you could have access to everything. He didn't restrict you. He didn't try to slow you down. He jailbroke the Word of God so that you could have everything that the Word says. And he says that he came to proclaim the captives to be released. I don't know, you ever been captive in something? Blind eyes to see. So no longer do you do the same old things you used to do. Now you can see what you were doing was wrong. And now you want to change and do things God's way. And that the oppressed, there's a lot of people oppressed during the holiday season, would be set free. And he says the time of the Lord's favor has come. It come right now. Jesus came to fulfill that scripture. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. When Jesus moves into the neighborhood, some things are right about to change. Amen? That's good news for you and friend. He didn't come to beat you down. He didn't come to hurt you. See, Jesus came to break the old covenant law of men that would keep people from going through the gate. The gate being Jesus. Jesus is the gate to anyone that calls upon his name. People tried to hold people back through the use of rules and restrictions and regulations and all these other things that God never put into the Bible. And it all started from the devil by saying, the God that you serve is really limited. He's trying to hold you. He's really doesn't really want you to have those things. That's why he doesn't want you to go and mess around. Come on now. Jesus came to jailbreak the Word. Because the Word was getting messed up by people like you and I that said, you know, God got me sick to teach me a lesson. You ever hear that? I was taught for a long time that I got sick with disease because God was teaching me a lesson. I believed that for the longest time until I got the revelation knowledge and I got set free. I got jailbroke from that mentality of God's trying to keep me down when God is only trying to lift me up. The God that we serve is a yes God. But think about this. People look at you and I in Christianity as a bunch of rules and restrictions. Well, he told Adam and Eve they couldn't eat of that apple. See how he held them? But they said you could eat of everything else. Just don't eat of that tree. Just don't eat of that tree. Y'all good. But then the devil said, did he really mean that? Did God really say that? Come on. He wants you to have it all. It's all right that you're carousing around. It's all right that you're drinking and smoking. It's okay that you're doing illegal activity. It's okay that you're doing... No, it's not. God had set some boundaries so that you wouldn't get hurt. And what happens is the devil has masterminded the plan. The people that Christianity is about a bunch of... You can't do this, you can't do that. Well, if I'm not drinking, I probably won't be drinking and driving. So I probably won't get pulled over by the police and then have to go to jail and have an encounter with men in a jail cell that I might not want to have an encounter with. Amen? Come on now, I'm going to keep it real now. And then have to pay $1,500 and then my insurance triple. Well, God just set a boundary. You know, if you're going to drink too much, don't drive. But if you don't drink, then you don't even have to worry about that. See, just a boundary just to help you out. Don't go cheat on your spouse. Why? Just a boundary there, because it'll probably cause a divorce, or it might bring home some kind of disease. Come on. Just a boundary, not hard. I'm just trying to help you. I want to keep the family unit together so we don't have children that are fatherless or motherless. Don't want you to get on those drugs because once you get addicted to it, it's hard to get off the crack. Just a boundary. Not trying to hurt you, just trying to help you. But the devil has turned it around and he don't want you to have no fun. And I tell this story because when I got saved, before I got saved, my wife and I got invited to these Christian parties. And there was no alcohol. And there were card parties and they had cards and lots of food because Christians like to eat. I mean, they like to have like, you know, 10-course meals. And they would have a prize at the end when you play these crazy card games or whatever. And my brother said, you could come to this party. And I'm like, can't come. There's no alcohol. Can I drink in my car before I get there? Get full of the spirit? Jack Daniels? Or whatever it was? I said, I can't have fun with a bunch of people like this. I mean, I hung around people that we get drinking and you start laughing and, you know, you get drunk and then you drive home and hope you don't get a ticket and you look at your wallet the next morning, it's $100 lighter than it was because you spent a whole bunch of alcohol and you know, you stunk because you're dancing and you smell like booze, and that was fun. Then you wake up with a hangover and a headache, and my mom would be vacuuming the rug at 6 in the morning just to kind of teach that kid to come in late. So I go to these parties. I go sober, and my wife and I go, and we're not saved yet, and we're hanging around these people, and they're all having fun. Before you know it, I'm having fun. They got food, man. Thank God for that. Good food. And then you get to talking, and they just start just talking about God and how God blessed their lives and how their families changed and how they used to drink and smoke and be corrupt and cheat on their taxes and lie. And it's, you know, we used to be like that, but then we got saved. I'm saved from what? Yourself. Because God will allow you to do anything you want to do. You can have access in and out. It's up to you. He's the gate. Gave you a free will to do whatever you want to do. So we go to these parties and hang with these people and have a great time. And they ask, do you want to get saved? No, I'm good. But I had a great time, and I just kind of watched how people all had fun without any alcohol. They weren't cussing. They weren't making racist jokes that were belittling women or men or race. We're all having fun. They're all talking centered around this guy named Jesus. I'm like, yeah, I get tired of hearing about this Jesus guy. But God allows you to make choices. You're not a puppet. And what happened is society has called us crazy. We're a bunch of rules. We want to hold you down. Listen, ladies. God didn't say you can't wear makeup. It's great that you wear makeup. Praise God that you can wear makeup. Not that you need it, but it's okay. It's not a rule that, but in the olden days, they had a rule. You can't do this. You can't drive your car. You can't wear makeup. Men, you have to wear a suit and tie. And I've been to churches where I've seen, well, women aren't allowed to wear makeup. And guys had to wear a suit and tie. So there's some pretty looking handsome guys with some women that really needed some makeup. Amen? Now, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, but listen and watch how Christians have put so many rules and regulations to apply to keep other people out. Well, we can't have the homeless come here because they smell. Really? Jesus says, I'm the gate. Think about that. I'm the gate. Everybody is welcome. I'm the gate. the gate swings open, and I'm going to be there as a good shepherd to take a look at you when you're coming in so I can help you and clean you and mend you and fix you. And then I'm going to lay by that gate so nobody can gain access to you to hurt you. That's what the gate, the shepherd, does. He's a good shepherd, that Jesus. Now, let me finish with this. Jesus didn't get me sick. Teach me a lesson. Jesus didn't put rules and boundaries around and said, well, if you start doing this and doing that, I'll heal you. He already said, by your stripes, you were healed. So once I got a revelation knowledge that the God I serve only set some boundaries to help me, it clarified a whole bunch of junk that was in my trunk that got pushed out by the Word of God that said that I can be healed. So when they said, you have this pancreatitis issue and you've been dealing with it for 12 years, I dealt with it because of my big mouth and my confession was poor. But then I got a revelation knowledge of who Jesus was. And by his stripes, I were healed. Not 2 years later, they come and they give me a report that you got a big mass in your lungs. Says that on that report. That's what the doctor's report says. But I realize that the God I serve doesn't have rules and regulations that apply to my health. He just says, if you trust me, if you believe me, if you love me, I know the things that you've done in the past might have caused these conditions, but I'm here to heal you. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? Will you do it my way? Because it's going to go contrary to what the doctor's report says. And you can believe that report, or you can believe my report that says, by my stripes, I've been healed. See, I can believe this report of what the doctors say, or I can get into this rules and regulations. I can get into what the Word of God says. And live by his boundaries so that I don't ever have to have this sickness and disease. And so I learned by the power of his word that if I used his word and I went to the gate, that he's going to take care of me and that he can eliminate what the doctor's report says. A doctor's report says what the doctor's report says. They can only do what the doctor's report says. But Jesus isn't bound to the rules and regulations of the Obamacare. He is bound by his word, and his word is faithful, and his word is truth. And his word sets you free. And in the Bible said that Jesus said, I came, right, so that I will set the captives free. And I will let go of those bondages and the sicknesses and the oppression. God said that, I'm going to do that. And this day, and he rolled up the scribes, the scrolls, and he gave it and said, this day I perform. I've now moved into your neighborhood. And in your neighborhood, this sickness, got to go. This beating you down thing, got to go. This taking a paddle and trying to make you conform you into something, that's got to go. To make you measure up to something, God said, no, it's got to go. All you got to do is trust me, he said. He didn't make it hard. By his stripes, you were healed. I didn't get you sick to teach you a lesson, Jeff. I taught you that by my stripes, you're healed. You lived in the world, and you got some dirt and dust and debris on you and some sickness on you, but I'm here to clean you up because I'm the gate. I'm not one that says you have to do these 18 things and pay all these doctors all this money because you have an issue of blood, but only say a word and my servant would be healed. That don't sound like somebody who's got a whole bunch of rules and restrictions and regulations that may apply. I think the God that we serve says yes and amen. Let it be. You might go through some stuff. You will go through some stuff. You're not exempt from going through life. But you don't have to go through life by yourself. You have one that stays close to you called the Holy Spirit. You have someone that cares for you, someone who's interested in you. And his name is Jesus. He wants to make sure that you have all the blessings of God. All the blessings of God, yes and amen. Favor isn't fair. Let people talk about you. It's okay that they talk about you. Because obviously you stirred something up. I love it. Obviously you stirred something up in them that you got their attention. Mama used to use a spoon just like that. Just setting some boundaries, son. Just kidding. She's back there soon. She knows what she did. I forgave her. But she set boundaries so that today I'm not running the streets in some jail cell. I didn't like the rules. I rebelled against the rules. Then she had that thing called a paddle to help me get back in alignment and agreement with her house rules. She was right. She didn't spare the rod because if she would have corrupted me. I needed a little bit more rod than maybe the other kids did because I was the last. I was the chosen one. I was the third of three. The other ones wore her down so it got to me. You know, I was just, you know. But she did it because she loved me. How much more does our Father in heaven love us? He ain't trying to set a whole bunch of rules to hurt you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to get you out of that stagnant pond and move you into the living waters of God. He wants to bless you. He wants to increase you. He wants you to have favor. Did you get anything this morning? God's trying to propel you to a point where you're at, where you have an audience and you can say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Not offensive. Not trying to hurt somebody. Not trying to belittle someone's Muslim religion. Or their Buddhist religion. Or they're atheist. They're a great person. That's good, but you're still going to hell. I was a good person too, I thought. But then when I looked against the rules and regulations, I knew I was going to go to hell. But then Jesus came. He's the gate. He says, you can come as you is. Don't worry about it. You can come in your shorts. And I did. And I went to church. And I remember I blew everybody. I walked in just kind of jacked up. Still smelling like a little bit of that weed that my mom was selling. And just kidding. Well, she had a pound of it in the refrigerator. Must have been hers. Couldn't have been mine. Just teasing. Smelling like the world. Why? Because everything I did was just like the world. So what would I smell like? The world. Came into a church. It's okay. Didn't really say much. Didn't really respect me because I didn't look their way. I didn't talk their way and I smelled. And all this time I'm dealing with a sickness and I'm dying and I know I am, but I'm thinking, hey, I was pretty good. I was an altar boy when I was a Catholic. I think I got enough points to get to heaven. And I had somebody visit me when I was in a hospital and I was dying. And I'll never forget. He came to visit me every day. Every day he'd bring me these tapes. And back then we had CDs or tapes, cassette tapes. And he'd come and I'd see him coming down the hallway and I'd push my morphine button so I could kind of get into a daze. Because I know those guys are talking to me about Jesus. Every day for 14 days, he visited me on his lunch hour. It was a gate. Every day, he would come and pray over me. Then he would come in the evening because he had nothing else to do. And he'd come lay hands on me and anoint me with oil, and I would fight this thing. And then one day, he said, Jeff, he says, the doctor's report was there, I was dying, and he said, you know, do you really know that you're going to go to heaven? Do you really know that, you know? God's not about rules. He's not about a bunch of regulations. He's not trying to hold you down. You could be a good person, but you could still be a good person going to hell. And you're dying. And the prognosis doesn't look very good for you. And I said, what do I got to do? He said, just give yourself to God. And at that moment, I gave myself to God, and he led me through a sinner's prayer, and I got saved. It wasn't about rules or you got to do these 18 things. He said, Jeff, let's just keep this real simple. Kiss. God loved to kiss people. God, Jesus loved people. But keep it simple, Simon. These are different words, stupid, but it's okay. And he said, all you got to do is ask God to forgive you. And I said, okay. And he says, and just repent that, hey, you messed up, but I want to change. Lord, help me. You know, when you do that, God will come and help you. And he came like a rushing flood. I mean, I cried like a baby. I was like, oh, my God. And I just think it was the medicine, you know. But it was God coming to help me, coming to my rescue. I got saved. And about an hour later, my temperature that wouldn't break and the fever and the infection broke within the very hour. Then a few days later, I was recovering, and I was going to be let home. I was tired of seeing the guy, to be honest with you. I mean, I love him, but, you know. But he did that, and he acted like Jesus. Not one time did he try to beat me up. Didn't say, well, you're going to hell. You don't measure up. You know, didn't come with it. He just says, you know, God loves you. And I get tired of saying that God loves you. I know God loves me. But do you really know? You heard, but you never experienced. See, what we have to do during the season, we have this golden opportunity called Christmas. It's the great opportunity to tell people about Christ. It's a great opportunity. And I would just break it down. God isn't about a whole bunch of rules. He has a couple boundaries to keep me, you know, from burning my hand on the stove or playing inside the traffic. Those are the boundaries that God has. And you find those as rules and regulations. God still wants you to go have fun. It's okay if you want to have one glass of wine or two, but don't go get drunk. And then go get in the car and then mess yourself up. I don't drink because I just can't handle just one. So I've learned that none is best for Pastor Jeff. Plus, if you're sick in the hospital, I don't think you want me to come smelling like Coors beer on my breath. I don't think you do, seriously. I mean, what witness is that? I don't want you to stumble and fall because I had one, and you say, well, if pastors have one, it's okay for me. And then you have 10, and then all of a sudden, you're an alcoholic. I don't want to be the one that helps you stumble. So I just abstain. I don't miss it. I drink enough in my young lifestyle to last me a whole lifestyle. I smoked enough to keep me that I don't need to ever smoke again. I look like a chimney. I don't have to do it. I don't have to wear a three-piece suit and a $50,000 car. I don't need to have all that. If you want that, you can have that. But I'm a simple guy. I didn't remember Jesus driving around in a Maserati. He gave him a donkey. Jesus had long hair, and a lot of places he had to walk everywhere he had to go. And see, we get so tied up with things. Christmas. Oh, I got to get that person that gift. What are they going to think if I don't buy them this? Who cares what they think? Live within your means. Don't go in debt for Christmas and spend $10,000 that you're paying for all year long. Sometimes just an act of kindness, maybe baking someone cookies and knows that you went and took the effort to bake those cookies, means more to me than sometimes that you've given me a $50 scarf. Amen? It's not about the money. It's not about the quantity. It's now time that we can go share Jesus with people. It's the season. We have a golden opportunity till Christmas to share Jesus. When everybody else is going crazy, you can walk in and you're comfortable. I don't get stressed out about the holiday. If they don't have it here, then I guess I'm not supposed to have it. I'm not going to get over. I'm not going to sit in the crowd and try to get the thing for $4. God shall supply all my need, and if it costs me $10, I'll go to this store and they'll have it and I'll pay $10. Because the God I serve, it gives me more than enough. He's not tying me with rules and regulations and restrictions. He has a few boundaries to help me be successful. Take this message today seriously. Share it with people. Don't go beat up people. But I would go and say Merry Christmas. Hey, not Happy Holidays. It's Merry Christmas. It's the reason for the season's Jesus. He's such an awesome God that I serve. That's all you got to say. He may look at you crazy and he may look cross-eyed. That's okay. You know, my Christmas holiday is going fantastic. All my debt, I don't have no debt for Christmas. My God's blessing me. How's it going for you? Let me tell you about my Jesus. You don't have to beat them up. Just show them. Oh, Pastor, I'm not that kind of person. When you're at Starbucks and there's somebody in front of you and you say, hey, I'm going to buy that person their drink. And they look at you, why? God told me to do that. I just want to bless you. That's going to rock their world for the day. They're going to tell 50 people that some weird guy bought me this drink and he said God told him to do that. Right. Or you buy the drink behind the person behind you in the car and they don't even know who it is. I've had that happen to me. I'm like, God, if somebody bought me my drink, I'm going to go buy the drink to the person behind me. Of course, they ordered 10 drinks. And Starbucks means it's $5 per drink. But God says, do it. Just go do it. Go be a blessing. Don't be handcuffed by the holidays. Don't be restricted by what people think the Bible. Share with them about Jesus. Simple. Oh, Adam and Eve. Remember, he said he couldn't. They couldn't. That's what the devil said. He had everything else, but just don't eat that one. Give them the illustration. You don't tell your kids to put their hands on a stove. Why? Is that restricting them? No, you're trying to help them. You don't want to have them burn their hands. But how many kids? I know I have. My mom had a metal stove, and she said, don't touch that stove. What? She said, I ain't listening to her. I burned my hands. Blistered all up. Had to put all that spray stuff on and burn. Mercuricome and all that stuff. Ugh. Don't go playing traffic. Why? Because you're going to get hit by that car. Did you listen? God's the same way. He looks above and says, you can do anything you want. Here, you have all the freedom. He came and set the captives free. You have all the freedom to do whatever you want to do. But it's better if you stick to his boundaries. Amen? Do you get it this morning? All right. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless your people. Everything that was spoken this morning, Lord God, let them take it with them. Let them grow in the goodness and the mercies of God. Let them know, Lord God, you're not there to beat them up or make them measure to some kind of standard. But, Lord God, allow them to know that you love them right where they're at. Right where they're at today, Lord. Wherever they're going through, Lord God, you're there with them. Bless them. Guide them. Direct them, Lord God. Lord God, establish some boundaries in our lives so that, Lord God, we don't fall off the cliff. Let us have some boundaries, Lord, on our spending so that we don't have to pay for it in January and just scratch our head in agony and pain. How are we going to make the bills? Lord God, help us to be more like you. Allow us, Lord God, to be more like Jesus. Bless each person here. Allow them, Lord God, to flow and do all that you have for them to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.